All right, good morning, everyone. Brandon again with IHCA for our monthly managed care call with Amerigroup Iowa. Appreciate their participation in these calls monthly with us. A shout out to our sponsor, Right Dose Pharmacy, longtime sponsor for 2022, longtime sponsor, but specifically for this call for 2022. So I want to thank them for their sponsorship here. Like I mentioned, we don't have questions submitted ahead of time for Amerigroup. So if you have any questions, feel free to put that information into the chat, and we will get to those as soon as we can. Just want to start this call again by mentioning, as far as informational letters that are out there, the main one that I just want to bring to our attention, and it's for any of our waiver providers, is the Info Letter 2401. Which is the 2022 HCBS Provider Quality Management Self-Assessment, which waiver providers need to complete on an annual basis. The form has changed a little bit, so make sure that you are looking at that and completing that by the deadline of December 31st. Make sure that it is in by December 31st, otherwise you may run the risk of being enrolled as a Medicaid provider, which obviously is very important if you're providing waiver services that you are an enrolled Medicaid provider so you can be reimbursed for the services you're providing. So 2401 is the info letter on the quality management self-assessment. So 1231 is your deadline if you have not completed that yet. So I'll pause here. Typically John has some comments that he'd like to start the call with. I don't know if anyone with Amerigroup has any comments that they'd like to start with, and if not, we can maybe flip to looking at questions. So I'll pause here.
Good morning, everyone. This is John Hobson. I don't have any specific updates or anything that is actually come down since our last call meeting. I will just mention that there is still an informational letter coming out from IME regarding the electronic visit verification status for home health. It is my understanding that it is going to be, they have been approved for a waiver, and it's not going to begin for any of the home health 2023, but we have not seen that informational letter yet. So we're still waiting as well. And that's really all I have. And I'm happy to answer any questions that I'm able or the team is, and we will get, answers back if we're unable to.
Awesome. Thank you, Don. I appreciate it. So I guess a couple of questions, and I know that there are several reps on the call, and maybe you can, if the reps are out here, there's a question here of someone asking for representative info. This one shows Windmill. So I think it's Windmill Manor or River Hills. So if there's a rep that is assigned to either of those facilities, Cal is looking for some contact info. I think Cal is newer to the state, so maybe we could help him out. This question here from Peyton is they've had some longtime issues of not getting responses from their reps. After this call last month, they got a call set up with Robin. And since that call, they've had a couple emails, but we still have not gotten a response to. How can they ensure timely responses from their representatives?
I don't actually see Robin on, but what I would suggest is, and what I suggest for my providers, because we do get sometimes bogged down with, emails and that, is just to send a reminder email over and see if you can, connect with her. It sounds like you're looking for some resolution. Maybe you connected but didn't get a resolution to the actual question or response. So I would definitely do that, but feel free to send an email over to my email, which I put in the chat for everyone, and I will also try to connect with her and get you connected so that you guys can have a conversation.
Thank you, Don. And a question from Cal here is, if we dispute a claim, then receive a letter that that dispute or the original denial reason had been upheld, then we do a second level appeal mailed in. Is that accurate? And then is there a spreadsheet we can send to the rep if those two disputes are upheld?
Hi, I'll just jump in again on that. That's a great question. You're doing exactly, you know, what our claims dispute process, you know, is outlined in our provider manual. Once you have a difficulty with that second dispute and it's still not resolved or it's partially overturned but not completely, you with your mailed in appeal, which is fine to do. You can either do it mail or you can do it on availability. You cannot do a second level dispute through the provider customer service phone, but you're doing that correctly. And then, yes, we do have an actual template spreadsheet that we have for providers, a blank one that can be, you know, sent over to you. And then if you would complete that, send that back to the rep, then what we have is our next process is to submit that to a higher escalation team for review further.
Okay.
Brandon, I'll just add for Cal, because I think she had the question about the rep. If you just want to send me an email, Cal, I will get you that copy of the template so you have that, you know, and you can save it to your computer.
Thanks, Dawn. And Miriam, I know I missed that. I forgot that you'd mentioned that you were on Cal's account earlier, so I apologize for that. So that message may come from Miriam, Don, just so you know. Okay. I will pause. Any other questions? I know in the past we've had questions surrounding AmeriVantage. So are there still any known struggles from providers regarding that? I see that we have. We did have someone from AmeriVantage with us today. And so I want that to be utilized if we do have any questions there.
Hi, this is Laura with the Good Samaritan Society. And I have been working on this with Dawn, but since someone from that plan is on the call, I thought I would bring it up. I have a coinsurance claim that they have the primary Medicare Advantage with Amerigroup. And that process been paid correctly, and they assigned a coinsurance. It did not cross over, so I submitted the secondary claim with the Medicaid ID to the Medicaid payer so that it could process under the secondary Medicaid benefit. It has been denied as duplicate because when Amerigroup received the claim, they changed the ID on the claim to the Medicare ID and process it against that, even though our UB04 clearly shows the Medicaid ID. And Dawn has had it sent back a couple of times. We've gone back and forth with it. I don't understand why when it's submitted with the Medicaid ID, and I have this issue with room and board claims. We submit with the Medicaid ID, with the Medicaid payer, and Amerigroup receives them, changes the ID, and then denies them under the Medicare Advantage. Why is this happening and what is being done to stop it when we're billing it correctly?
Thank you, Laura. Leah, I know you're on the call and John had indicated that you were from Medicare side. Do you have any thoughts or comments on Laura's question?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, great. I do not. I am going to have to get in some touch with someone with claims, since we do the utilization on the inpatient side for my team, and would be happy to look that up if she can send me the information. I can put my email in the chat, and I would be happy to look into that.
Dawn, do you want to forward that over to Leah, or do you want me to?
Sorry, I had to get off of mute. No, I will forward it over. And I do have a little bit of updated information that has happened. So I'll put that to Leah's email as well. And can I just ask, just to be, I know which one we're talking about. Is this happening now, or is it something that would have been prior to a production fix that we actually hopefully, you know, managed to get that corrected so they were not flipping the Medicaid ID to the Medicare and sending it to the wrong side of the house?
I'm still seeing it happen. I don't know about November claims because we're just starting to see those come through. And I don't know what date your production was put into, but I've seen it. It's been happening for several months in that on it. You know, there's not a lot that have, you know, with the secondary claims, if they don't cross over, and then we bill them, but, you know, I don't know when the production, you know, when your production fix went in, but we are still seeing, and I'm just starting now to see November claims come in as paid or denied. So.
Okay. That's what I was afraid, you know, to hear. And what I'll do is I just need to get those examples and get them over to see why it's still occurring, where we're flipping that. It was happening. It was supposed to be something that I think we got a handle on through that. And if it's still happening, I'll use those as examples and assist you guys in getting those resolved.
Thanks, Dawn. Thanks, Leah. I'll let Dawn send that over to you then. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
I see a question in here. this is from Brenda. So this would most likely be nursing facility claims. They had all of their claims for July and August paid at the incorrect rates. They've done their disputes on availability and they were all denied, or I guess the denials were probably upheld. Then they sent the spreadsheets to their rep and have not heard anything back. What's the best route for Brenda here? Dawn, I know you mentioned earlier a follow-up message. I don't know if that's the advice or if you have any other comments for Brenda and her group.
Yeah, so we have some July and August. I don't think we have too many Septembers, but I think there might be a few providers due to some MPI rate updates that kind of had gotten messed up on our end of receipt. We had to redo those, and then we should be in the process getting those updated. I'm also just trying to, I don't have a definitive, but I'm trying to get an answer as to when those July and August rate updates would actually be reprocessed. They should be reprocessed due to that rate configuration update as an automatic. We've done that in the past. We do that on a regular basis on these quarterly rates. I do want to just clarify that when you have a rate update, particularly for nursing facility quarterly, and they happen every quarter, it is not necessary if you have billed charges that support the rate update. If it has gone up, it needs to be a billed charge that, you know, meets that. You do not necessarily need to do the disputes because we do have, you know, a process in place. We're a little bit lagging right now in the July and August, and I'm going to try to get some answers for everyone. I can share that over with Brandon as soon as I get something back, is when we anticipate seeing those reprocessed. However, your spreadsheet to your rep should get that submitted and get that question also, because I mean, we want to, you know, figure out why we're not. Did we miss you guys? Did something happen? Were the charges not allowing us to reprocess? That's what we need to. So keep connecting with your rep on that spreadsheet.
Awesome. And I would appreciate if you could follow up with me, Dawn. I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, I'll try to get an update for everyone and share it over Brandon.
Great. All right. Do we have any other questions from members on the call today for Amerigroup? And just to follow up from Brenda, is that spreadsheet went to the rep in October, and they're waiting on a response from her. So, any other questions from members for our call today? can either unmute or put it in the chat. I will pause now. Brenda, I think Don's email up earlier in the chat, but in case you signed on late, we can throw it in there again. Oh.
I'm sorry.
You're good. You're good. So I think one of the questions in here is, Don, what is your role? Are you one of the provider experience representatives?
That's a great question. I am. I'm part of our provider experience team. We are now referenced as provider relationship account managers. So we have, you know, certain areas and certain providers that we are, you know, supporting those accounts. So I am one of them. I just happen to be the one that's on the call today, you know, so and any information I can share, I will. I see a message in the chat just to kind of let everybody know that Megan Lamore has taken a new position. She was part of our provider team and she has taken a new position. So she's no longer in the same role.
Has there been, I guess, has that role been refilled by anyone that I guess we can know about?
Not at this time, but we are in the process of filling. I think we have two positions that we're filling, trying to fill right now, and we're hopeful they've all been approved for that. And we're hopeful, I think we're doing some interviewing at this time. So we're hopeful to have after the first of the year, hopefully we're going to have a full staff.
Awesome. Okay. Well, seeing no further questions in the chat, just want to take the time to thank our representatives from Amerigroup for joining us again today. And all year, and for, I guess, for the entirety of whenever we've had these calls, we appreciate the work of Amerigroup for joining us. And as this is our last call for this year, want to wish everyone a happy holidays and enjoy your time with your family. I do see, as I'm closing, we do have a couple more questions coming in, so we have a little bit of time here, so I will try to address those here quick. There's a question from Jan that says, supposedly I'm supposed to be able to go on availability again to see what claims have been paid. Is that still available, or where else can I find the information? I think Jan's looking for claims for her that have been paid. I don't know if it's just this year. Any thoughts on that, where she can find that information?
Just put a note in there. Jan, I think you are exactly where you need to be in the availability portal. As long as you have access that was given to you by the administrator of the setup with your organization, when setup for availability happened, you should have access to be able to see those claims remittance and review those for any paid claims.
Thanks, Don. And I do see someone who wants to ask a question about the rates. I'm not sure who that this is, but if you'd like to ask the question, go ahead.
Was asking questions about the SNF rates not paying correctly. And I guess I just wasn't clear if it was in regards to the actual rates in the contract or was more related to the level of care that's being approved for the stay. I know in Ohio area, we've had issues where they weren't paying at the correct skill level. And we've had to go back through the UM area and fix the levels in our system because they might not have been exactly correct. And so some of those facilities were getting take backs because the levels weren't, you know, recorded correctly where they needed to be so the facility would be paid correctly. So just wanted to clarify what rates were incorrect, if it was a level of care or if it was related to their contractual rates that are in the contract.
Great question. This is Dawn again. We were actually previously were referring to the nursing facility level of care rate updates that occur on a quarterly basis for those nursing facility placements. Skilled, you know, rates would be a part of that. And so we, you know, if we have a particular rate that comes in outside of those quarterly rates for an organization or agency, that would be something that would be different. But these are the quarterly nursing facility rate updates.
So not to do with the level of care then? The original question.
I'm not sure that I can answer that, you know, specifically. It doesn't, you know, it's not related to the contract or the level of care of the member that's receiving services at that nursing facility level of care. It's just a process that is in place that we get those on a quarterly basis. It doesn't really have anything really to do with the member.
Okay. That's all I wanted to be sure. Cause I know some providers in the Ohio region, like I said, they did have issues with that. I'm not paying at the correct level of care. So,
yeah, I don't think that falls into place here in Iowa, especially on our nursing facility side where each facility is assigned its own specific all-inclusive rate for custodial care, which is, I think, what Dawn is talking about here. Those rates are assigned on a quarterly basis for the nursing facilities and then process. And so since it sounds like this specific situation started on, like for July and August of 22, that is when one of the quarterly rate adjustments start. So it's likely attributable to that.
Thank you.
Thanks for the question.
And Brandon, that leads me to some information that I can share. We have received some, not all, of the NPI nursing facility rate updates for January 1, 2023, and we are in the process of getting all of those loaded. It's not a complete project yet, but hopefully by the time nursing facilities custodial are billing for January, we'd have all of those loaded is our anticipation.
Awesome. That's great. And obviously, it's great that you're working on those already and you have some of those rates to put in. Those services will most likely not be billed until February, so we still have some time to get those in, but appreciate the efforts to put them in as soon as possible. So, okay. Well, with that, again, thanks everyone for joining us. Thanks to Amerigroup for joining us and continuing to as we move into the new year. Members for always joining and submitting questions. As always, feel free to submit questions to us ahead of time. We'll make sure that we get them on our calls. And to the provider or the MCOs before the call starts, so they're able to prepare answers. But again, I hope everyone has a great holidays, and we'll reconvene this group again here in January. So until then, let us know if you have any questions. We're always here to help, and have a great week. Thanks.
Thanks, Brandon. Thanks, everyone.